of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. With the presidential inauguration here this past week and all the talk on the TVs, over the airwaves, on your smartphones and smart pads, all the talk of authority and transfer of power and all of these such things, let us take a moment here today to go to the one from whom all power and all authority flows, revealed to us, of course, in his holy word. From our Old Testament reading for today, we have a commander of the mighty Syrian army in the north, a great man with his master and in high favor, a mighty man, a soldier of valor, Naaman. Yet he was sick with leprosy. We also have a young girl, a servant of Naaman's wife, captured and enslaved during a raid by the Syrians in the southern kingdom of Israel. She falls under the authority of Naaman and his household, but yet she finds the strength to raise her small voice in profession of her faith and of the healing powers of a prophet from her hometown, those that are sworn enemies to the home in which she serves. We also have a king of Syria, who loved and respected his mighty commander Naaman so much that he would do anything to care for him, including writing a letter to his enemy in the small chance of healing. And we have here in the story for us Elisha, the man of God who you might remember was chosen by God and over whom the very mantle of Elijah was cast, right before Elijah was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. Elisha was a preacher who spoke not with his own authority, but that of the Most High God. Also for us, you have another king of Israel, the southern kingdom, who upon receiving a letter from his northern enemy assumes the worst, assumes some trick, a mocking of his authority. But yet, he too is confronted by the word of God through Pastor Elisha. All of these various people are confronted with authority. All of these people have various stations in life, various vocations, and all of them are under authority in some way or another. So who has authority over you? Whom do you serve? In your household? In your country? In your church? Mighty Naaman, a man under authority yet vested with authority over others, is quite skeptical that he can be healed. But he heeds his king's command. We're told, "So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house." But did you catch what happened next? Elisha won't see him. Elisha won't greet him. "Mighty commander Naaman with a letter from his king and his chariots and his horses," Elisha simply sends a messenger to say, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." Huh. Naaman wants more. One can imagine him standing there in his chariot, expecting some pomp and circumstance, but he receives nothing more than a simple message from a lowly servant. So we're told he turned. He turned and went away in a rage. You see, as it was with Naaman, so it is with you and me. We find ourselves under authority from someone above us. Yet perhaps, like Naaman, we have authority of those under us. And more than that, in these situations, we expect God to deal with us in the same way that the world works. If we keep our head down and do our work, we reason that we are owed the fruit of our labor. Better compensation, more respect, an increase of goods, health, and extended life. We believe things should just keep getting better and better and better. And when confronted with the opposite, we become indignant, arrogant. We turn away, we get angry. And yet God's word comes to us in a simple way. Psalm 51 teaches us that God does not delight in sacrifice, that he is not pleased with our burnt offerings. And yet we arrive at the doorway to heaven, whether here in time, in the divine service, or there in eternity, upon our death. We arrive like Naaman with our 10 talents of silver, our 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes, and the sinner in us fully expects to buy and earn our way into God's grace. And when he provides a simple message, through a simple messenger, we get angry and turn away in anger. And so from our gospel reading, we have God's answer to this situation. We have God's gracious provision in the form of Jesus, the very incarnate Son of God, he who is epiphanied for all to see, revealed in the flesh made manifest. And right at the beginning of our gospel text for today, we have another leper. Same disease as the mighty Naaman. But this leper simply asks our dear Lord for mercy. Lord, he cries out as he kneels before him, if you will, make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. No talents of silver, no shekels of gold, no changes of clothes, just the word. The word in the flesh, healing, cleansing. And then again, we have another mighty commander. This time a centurion, one under authority and one having authority. And he comes not with silver, gold, or clothes. He sits not in his chariot and expects pomp and circumstance. Like the leper that was just cleansed, this centurion is a beggar for a simple word from the Lord. Lord, he says, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. Like the king of Syria, he's concerned for those under his authority. Unlike the king of Syria, he does not expect to buy or earn such healing. And Jesus, your Savior, Jesus is as Jesus does and says, I will come and heal your servant. But this centurion knows his place. He recognizes true authority when he sees it, proclaiming, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Just say the word, Lord, one simple word, and my servant will be healed. A man under authority, who yet sets aside his station and position in life and simply places himself as a beggar at the feet of the Most High God, of Christ. Ironically, if you have not made the connection yet, there is another centurion whom we meet later on in the Gospels, one under authority and with orders to crucify this same man, the King of the Jews, a man who follows his orders in his station in life and sees to it that this same Jesus suffers painfully and horrendously, sees to it that Jesus is stripped of all goods, of all reputation, and is left nailed, naked, upon an old rugged cross. A centurion, a man under authority who in all of this is moved to a very similar, bold proclamation of faith as he witnesses all of this at the foot of the cross and simply says, "Truly this man was the Son of God." You see, for you and me, a rejection of authority and even a desire for temporal authority and order fills us all as sinners. We each have our station and vocation in life, and each of us suffer the effects of sin, death, and the devil. No one is immune. And each of us comes in our own chariots, and we expect the doors of heaven to be open to us because of who we are and what we've done. And for this sin, the Son of God, your Savior, is crucified. For you and your pompous and arrogant sin, and mine as well. Have you ever noticed the place from which God's messengers still give you the same simple word today? I'm standing in it, duh. And you know what it's called. It's called a pulpit. Do you know anything of its historical design? It's actually that of a chariot. But it's not my chariot. This is not my pulpit, nor is it yours. Rather, a pulpit, such liturgical furniture, teaches that the authority under which a pastor is to preach is none other than the authority of God. His pure and unadulterated word you should expect to come from here, to come from Christ. You see, the chariot simply covers up the man. How much more simple it might be for me to walk and dance up and down the aisles and let you see more of my personality and engage with you in that way. But it's about the authority. It's about the word, that which we pay homage and reverence to and take very seriously as Lutheran Christians. Even something as simple as a pulpit takes the emphasis off the individual and instead places it solely and purposely on the one who sheds his holy precious blood, the only one whose sacrifice is accepted as pure and unblemished, the spotless Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away your pompous and arrogant sin. And this word is that which you receive today. The same word that cleansed Naaman in the waters of the Jordan and yet cleanses you in simple baptism. The same word that heals the leper who cries out in mercy to Jesus, and the word of simple absolution spoken to you. It is the same word that fills the hearts and minds of both centurions who stand before the Lord in simple faith. The same word that fills eternal hunger in simple bread and wine that at his word is his very body and blood. Commanders, servant girls, kings, servant boys, the sick, the distressed, all of us are a man under authority in some way, shape, or form. But the true man, the new and pure Adam, comes for you. He places himself under the authority of his Father, your heavenly Father, to the point of death upon the cross, and by his very blood you are cleansed. Naaman, the leper in our gospel, the centurion's servant, all healed by the word, by Jesus Christ. Pastor Paul attempts to teach this to the Christians in Rome when he says simply, the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And so we come, you and I, in our chariots, some arrogant at times, some humble at others, but all of us in need of his word and his authority, which cleanses us from our sin. And his word does that which it has always done. As Elijah speaks the word from a fiery chariot, as Elisha speaks the same word to another simple messenger who speaks it to Naaman as he stands in his chariot, as Christ speaks to a leper and a centurion, and as Christ submits himself to the will and authority of his Father who desires that all would be saved by faith in his Son, as we together gather around the heavenly chariot of Christ, and his word in the divine service, our sins are forgiven and we are healed. We are assured of a glorious future yet to come. And so may we hear, receive, and treasure the word of Christ in simple faith. May we hear and believe even that simple word that Jesus speaks. Go, let it be done for you as you have believed. In the name of Jesus.